RTL Original Podcast.
Is the second song on an album the best or at least the most important? Taking inspiration from the ironic Blur smash hit of the same name, join me, Sarah Tapp, not Stephen Stepslow, together with Emma Baxley as we look into this loose theory and discover that an incredible amount of LPs have an absolute belter of a song too. This week, in honor of the release of 1989 Taylor's version, we're going to be taking a look back at that song too, the iconic Blank Space. Hi, I'm Sarah Tapp, host of The Hangover.
And I'm Emma Baxley, the social media manager for Today Radio.
And today we are guest hosting the Song 2 podcast to talk about Blank Space, the second track off Taylor Swift's 2014 album, 1989, which is being re-released as Taylor's version.
I can make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever.
Emma.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. So excited to be doing this special episode of Song 2 with you.
I hope Steps is proud of us because I'm excited to talk about Taylor Swift always.
So am I. Especially right now. I'm so excited for this album to come out tomorrow.
We have like 12 hours and counting. I know that if you're listening to this show, you've probably already heard the whole re-release, but I am so excited to listen tomorrow.
Are you also hoping that she's going to re-release Style with Harry Styles?
I mean, aren't we all?
Like, I think
the AI versions have just been hitting, but not as good as what we would get from her.
I feel like by doing this podcast, we are manifesting it.
We are. Please, Taylor, please.
Please.
We would love to have it.
Be that girl for a month. Wait, the worst is yet to come. Oh no. Screaming, crying, perfect storms. I can make all the tables turn. Rose garden filled with thorns.
Okay, so Blank Space, which I didn't even know this until you texted me about it, is her number one most streamed song on Spotify ever.
Ever.
And that's before the re-release has been happening.
So I thought it was going to be Shake It Off, to be honest with you. And then I looked and I was like, no.
Well, that was the first single on 1989. Mm-hmm. But Blank Space was her second release single. And it ended up being her like most popular on Spotify, which is just wild to me.
It's incredible. Why do you think it is?
I mean, it's just such a catchy beat, right? Like, it's such a good song. Everybody can sing to it, but it does have meaning behind it too, right? Like, there's so much meaning behind the song. And, like, she talks so much about, like, how she's kind of been put down for having all of these ex-lovers, not Starbucks lovers, but ex-lovers. And so I think that because of that, like, people can resonate with it. And, like, as we will see with Taylor's version coming out, there's a song coming out called Slut. And I feel like this is kind of, you know, a response to that, but maybe a more mild version. And that's why this is a vault track being released with that title and not on the original album.
I wish it was being released a little earlier so we could all be sluts for Halloween.
Oh my gosh. I think
sorry,
I could still throw something together in time.
I mean, aren't we all kind of sluts for Halloween? Like, isn't that the thing?
In girl world. I can quote the whole thing.
I spent a lot of time on TikTok, so I feel like I'm finally speaking your language on that theme. For once, the Wikipedia does just like the most perfect job. I looked at a couple other sources, but it says she conceived the song as a satirical, self-referential nod to her reputation as a flirtatious woman with a series of romantic attachments, which blemished her once wholesome girl next door image.
Which is so true, because if you think of her first four albums, like, they're all this kind of like soft girl next door. But meanwhile, in the media, she's being portrayed as this person who's been dating and dating and dating. Like, from 2008, her first, like, public boyfriend was Joe Jonas, right? And from then until the release of this album, she had 12 rumored or confirmed, like, male partners.
Serial dater.
Exactly. That's what the media is portraying her as. But only 6 of those she's admitted to. But 12 that she's been tied to, of all of, like, some sort of famous regard. Like, you've got Corey Monteith that she was rumored to be with. You've got Connor Kennedy, Harry Styles, also a big kind of influence on some of the 1989 album. Like, she had all of these boyfriends. So for her, like, this song is just so freeing in a way to, like, talk about how the media portrays her.
Totally. And I feel like it was the beginning of her taking back that narrative, because later we would see it come out, like, on the Reputation album, which was after 1989, right?
Yes.
My chronology is here is so bad. But yes, this was her big kind of comeback,
yes,
after going quiet for a while. But on tracks like The Man, she actually talks about that, about, like, you know, if I had a string of people,
right,
I'd be the man.
Leo in
Saint-Tropez.
Like, it's so true because, well, I mean, to be fair, now people are talking about Leo's dating history, because if you look at the chart, at 25, they drop. And then you go back up. So now they're talking about it, but only because it's been, what, 20 girlfriends now? Like,
who are all around 20 years old.
Exactly.
So
something
gross
to talk about.
So I agree with you. I think there's a word for it that I'm blanking on right now, but it is, like, the song potentially that is kind of, like, most core to her identity or her image at that time as an artist, right?
Totally. And I also, like, I've done a little bit of research on how she places music on her albums. And she's come out and said that, like, she puts the most emphasis on song number 5, actually.
That's really interesting.
Which is super interesting because this is the most streamed one. I know I probably should have written down what number 5
was
in 1989 if you want to look. But, like, she also, at this point, didn't own all of the rights to her music either. So she was kind of answering to a record label. So I think they had a lot of say in what was kind of being picked and in what order, too. Like, I'm sure she was like, okay, I really want this order, you know. I think you have to start with Welcome to New York. Like, you can't not start with that track, especially because she just moved to New York. Like, it's just a great opening track.
It has the word welcome in
welcome.
It. Like, literally.
You have to start with it.
But I agree with you. Like, I think it was kind of like a welcome to this new Taylor, because it, really, every album she's presenting a new style of music, a new version of herself.
Completely new style of music, which is just amazing.
So,
and
track 5, Emma, was All You Had to Do Was Stay, which is interesting because it's a great song,
but it's not one.
This album had so many huge hits. It's,
I mean,
not
Wildest
one of them.
Dreams.
Oh, so good.
Was one of my favorite songs. And then also that music video was
amazing.
Unreal. And then to donate everything was just
unreal. And I'll write your name. So in terms of the really big ones, so Blank Space, of course, Shake It Off, you said that was track 6. Bad Blood was track 8. Wildest Dreams was 9. And then I think Welcome to New York is maybe like it's a great song, but maybe like slightly one tier under those. Do you agree?
I don't know if you saw all of the, like, I don't know if you were on the side of TikTok when it was happening, but when she was in New York, everyone going to the show was like, we're gonna get it. And they were not happy about it because they were like, it's a good song, but they wanted anything else besides Welcome
it's too
to New
much.
York. And then she did play it as the surprise song on the last night.
Oh, I love that. You know, my we have a friend who lived in New York, and I don't know why. I think it's because our kids just associate Welcome to New York with Uncle Sean, but it was their favorite for a really long time.
I mean, it's a great track, and it's also in Secret Life of Pets. Like, it's the opening track to that movie, which is a great movie as well, so it's a great song, but
I love that. But it also, you know, for me, this was a bit of a sleeper hit, but, like, Clean, the last track on the album, is so good.
But that's also one of those that, like, at the time, I don't think people really realized what kind of storytelling ability she was capable of, and in this, like, dark and twisty way that we know so well now, but, like, people were still kind of underestimating her. So I think that Clean didn't get the attention it deserved at the time, but I think it's getting its comeuppance now, you know.
Totally. Definitely. It also, I'm going to blank on this. You're going to know this better than I do, but I feel like it's a companion track to the one about your love is addictive, which I'm completely spacing on. I'll have to Google it.
Reputation.
Yes.
Oh.
Because the problem with doing a podcast as opposed to a radio show is you can't just Google things while the songs are playing. But yeah, at any rate,
play a song.
Should we play Blank Space? Clean is kind of like a parallel. Anyway, it's such a full album full of good songs. And maybe even though track five, she's on record as saying that's her most important,
right,
or that's where she puts emphasis, I think song two has a really strong argument with this album.
Absolutely. Because again, it's the second single, but it also won the American Music Award for Song of the Year that year. Like, not just, you know, beating every other song on that album, but beating every other song in America at the time, you know? So, and she won a music video award for it. It got a iHeart Music Award for Best Lyrics. Like, there's definitely a huge case to be said here for the song too, which isn't true for all of her albums, but...
No, well, interestingly, so the other one, you mentioned that Blank Space, the song we're talking about today, is the most streamed track on Spotify of all time of Taylor Swift's. But she is, by the way, the most popular artist on Spotify. She has just surpassed 101 million monthly listeners. They had to like invent a new tier for her. It's like God tier.
You're so past
so
platinum.
Past everyone else.
Like, how do you even keep going? That's crazy.
So funny. But her second most streamed song of all time on Spotify is Cruel Summer, which was track number two on Lover.
So maybe Taylor is a song two believer.
Maybe.
I would love to ask her.
We need to get her on this show.
Why don't you just call Taylor up?
The old Taylor can't come to the phone right now, Emma.
Oh, she's dead.
She's dead. Maybe we can get the new Taylor, though. We like all versions of Taylor here at Today Radio.
And I'll write your name.